was talking this morning about wasted years. Even at the very best, when you try to do your very best in seeking God and following God, still, so far as really accomplishing what you'd like to accomplish, seems like it's just almost an impossibility. And you still realize that you waste so much time. So much time. So many years. Seems like that the younger generation, the younger people, would take heed. And while they have a chance to serve the Lord, that they'd really get down to business and really give their hearts to God. Really come in close to Christ. Because they have a chance to see the wasted years. The wasted years. You know, we've been in the ministry probably more than 30 years now. And during that time, I've seen a lot of people waste their years. A lot of people waste their years. It's sad. It's real sad. You don't have to do it. There's no reason for you to do it. But see, you do it. Then you look back and you think, well, I just didn't realize my years was going that fast. See, life is like, it's swifter than a shuttle. It's like a vapor. It appeareth for a while, and then it's just gone away. See, it just moves right away, and you think, where is my life? What happened to my life? I didn't intend to do that, somebody said. But it's like a man that gets all out of sauce, and he commits murder. He kills somebody. And the next thing that he knows, he's waiting for the death penalty. He's sitting there waiting, counting the moments as to when they're going to set him in the electric chair. And he thinks, I didn't mean to do that. What made me do that? How did this all happen? How did this come about? But see, too late. 10 million worlds couldn't change it. And your life is just going by like that. And in a little while, you're going to stand before God. Everyone that's in here, whether young or old, your life, even as a young boy or girl, your life will be gone before you hardly know what happens. And you'll be standing before God, and as you stand before God, see, you'll be asking yourself the question, what have I done? What have I done? I played the fool. What have I done? I didn't intend that. That wasn't my plans. See, you're just sitting around, all of a sudden a heart attack, and you're gone. Or you lay down on your bed at night, you never wake up in the morning. And you find yourself over into eternity. There you are to face the judgment. Or as it was with the rich man, he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You die and all of a sudden, you're lifting up your eyes in hell and you say, no, this can't be true. This can't be real. You know, suddenly you know that you've died. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, the dead know not anything. I know that. The Bible said the dead know not anything. That is, the body that lays in the grave don't know nothing. But Lazarus was much alive, and so was Abraham, and so was the rich man. And you say, oh, no. Oh, God, oh, no. Oh, no. No. This can't be. Lord, I got to wake up out of this nightmare. This can't be. But all of a sudden you realize you're not in a nightmare. That you're in hell. That it really happened. Like Jim said the other night when he had the dream that he was in hell. And he looked and saw the people in hell. He said, I saw some people from Bethlehem in hell. I saw my mother and daddy in hell. And he was saying in so many words, no, no. But he said it was there. Fortunately, he woke up and came out of the dream or the vision. A lot of people can't do that because they're in hell. And I think one of the things is that people are not aware of the seriousness of hell. Some of them hardly realize there is a hell. They don't think on things enough. We're living in a world of fiction. And you see so many movies and until it's such a fictitious world, you know. But hell is from now on. That is to say, when you depart this scene and you go into the lake of fire, the Bible says there's no release from that war. You don't get out of that. See, you are in hell. As it is said, as to when the rich man went to hell, I don't know. But there's one thing about it. Jesus has been gone for many, many years. He was crucified many, many years ago. Hundreds of years. But the rich man, even before that, apparently in hell or wherever Jesus saw it, he's still in hell. 10 million years from now, he'll still be separated from God. And the Bible said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And the Bible speaks of eternal flames as to God, a consuming fire. And it's from now on. You don't get to start over. It isn't 70 years, 50 years, 3 years in jail. Or it isn't dying out of the electric chair and getting out of your misery. That is going to the electric chair and dying out of this world. When it happens to you, it's from now on. You can't die out of it. You can't get out of it. You can't start over. That's from now on. Glad to have you here. Glad to have our brother sitting over here to our left. Oh, I'll have to look real good. I know him. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. I know that I know you, but with your glasses on, I didn't recognize you. It's been a long time since you've been to visit with us. I was wondering the other day where you was. Trust that everything's well with you. Certainly glad to have him here with us. He's been here with us and he's preached for us. I was talking to somebody about him a few days ago, wondering where he was. All right. I'm going to read a little bit. I've been talking to you for quite a bit, just kind of sharing with you a little bit along. And as I said, I've had a real desire to get into some spiritual things, but somehow I always find myself sitting around with the brethren down at the multipurpose building somewhere when I get into spiritual things. And I know that it is because that the audience as a whole, people, religious people as a whole don't have any spiritual hunger. Their routine of religion is to go to church, maybe a 45-minute sermon, if that long. If they believe in shout, they shout and praise God a little bit. If they don't, they go through their formalities. And then they hurry off to the cafe. And then they go through their routines of visiting or talking or eating or drinking or fellowshipping or riding, wherever, you know, strolling through the mall. It's just worldliness, that's all. Paul said, being carnal-minded, I can't speak unto you as unto spirituals. Said, I would that you were spiritual. So he had the same problem with the people in that day. He said, I would that you were spiritual. He said, but seeing that you're not, then I still must minister to you. Just desire the sincere milk of the word to grow thereby. And I'll talk to you as little children, he said. But he said, I would that you were spiritual, because Paul had gone up into the third heaven, seeing things it was not permitted for him to utter. And he had gotten into the great revelation of God and spoke of his much revelation and the mysteries of God. And he wanted to share them with people. He wanted to talk with people. He was carried away. He was enthused. He wanted to tell people about this great, wonderful world. Someone said the world of tomorrow. Well, the great, wonderful world that some people will never experience or see. I come here a lot of times and I want to talk about this world. I want to talk about these things. I want to talk about the pathway that leads to that world. You know, I would that you were spiritual. It would thrill me to know that you were spiritual and that I could talk to you as saints of God that are spiritual. Because I love to talk about the path that leads up to this wonderful world. And I love to talk about the things that is in your way, that hinders you, the weights, Paul said, that we should lay aside. And I love to detail things in such a way to where you understand what this life is all about. And I can tell you to start with, it's just lying vanities. The whole thing is lying vanities. In any approach that you use toward anything that you approach to, it's all lying vanities. And it's nothing. The education of this world is foolishness. The understanding of this world is foolishness. The practices of this world is foolishness. Everything in this world is foolishness. And God says to you and I as children of God not to choose the ways of the world. Or it says don't choose the ways of the heathens. Of course, you know, when it says don't choose the ways of the heathen, we think, oh, we need to leave them people alone that's overseas, you know, them bunch of heathens. But strangely enough, when you go over there, you don't meet a bunch of heathens. And you have somebody to say to you like I had somebody to say to me that they felt like the necessary for them folks over there to come and evangelize these heathens over here in America. That's right. That's what they told me. They didn't use the word heathen. They were polite enough they didn't use that. But they said these people in America was in such a bad condition. So they just had to get to where they could come over here and evangelize these people and help these poor people. You know, they were in such bad shape. Somebody says, no, Brother Pike. I'm afraid he was right. I couldn't say nothing against it. You know, I went over there to try to evangelize them. And that was to be done a few years back. But now they're coming into the things of God and they see that America has gone heathenistic from sports to I don't know what. And they know that America needs God and she's crumbling and going down fast. And they desire to come over here to tell you about Jesus to help you. I want to read from chapter 12. I don't know that I get to say anything much to you, but I usually just exhort you a little bit because I find out that I don't have an atmosphere of hunger and thirst to be able to really teach you anything or get into any of the mysteries. Whereas this is a little bit different when I get with a few of the fellas, they're so hungry. Some of them, they start talking and asking questions and we go right into the mind of the Lord. Whereas this had let up for a little while, even with the brethren, because they got careless. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Okay, now, you might say, well, what kind of problem did you have, Paul? Well, here's the problem he had, his infirmities. This is his infirmities. Paul gives a little thought here concerning himself in a boasting way, and yet he didn't mean it that way. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. How I have been in the deep, in journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathens, in peril in the city, in peril in the wilderness, in peril in the sea, in peril among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So, you see, Paul really went through it. This is why Paul said that we should equip ourselves with a mind to suffer. His mind was a mind to suffer. To know the Lord Jesus in his sufferings, in his death, and then to know him in his resurrection. So, Paul here in doing this received some extraordinary blessings. Somebody would say, praise God, Brother Pike, I'm ready to be caught up to the third heaven. Pour it out on me. Okay, so we'll pour it out on him. First we'll pour out the rods, thrice he was beaten. Then we'll pour out stoning. He was stoned and left for dead. It will pour out the number of years that you can spend in prison. And then we can pour out all these other things. We can pour it out on the mind to suffer. He said, well, what will that do? Then after that, you'll be ready to be caught up to the third heaven. You see how foolish the church of today is. And you see how unwise people of today are. You know, they don't want to give. They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They're called for a great ministry. And they're waiting for the day that they can get on TV. And they've got to have a lot of radio programs. And people's got to know about them. And they want big auditoriums. And they want the people to make a fuss over them. And they want to be a crooner. And they want to be everything, you know, except what God wants them to be. And they say, I'm following Christ. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities, not in those things. You know, he spoke of self-denial, and he spoke of a mind to suffer, and he spoke of following Christ in his sufferings. So then, it is so different from what the average individual is looking for. The average preacher is looking for fame and popularity. He wants to be everything but what Jesus was. All he can think about is Jesus and his great glory and his great power and his great kingdom. But he never thinks about Jesus and his suffering and Jesus and his misery. And Jesus as the rejected one, Jesus as one that was despised and rejected. He never thinks of him like that. See, thinks of him altogether different. And yet we think that we are the great church. And we boast ourselves of being the great church. And we're going to do great things. And we're going to have mighty miracles and all these things. You know, why don't all these things just follow the ministry? Well, it's pretty obvious, or very obvious, why that all of this don't happen, in that the ministry don't follow Christ. In following the Lord Jesus, what are we doing even in world evangelism? What are we doing in self-denial is to feed the poor or to clothe the needy? What are we doing? What have we done in denying ourselves? How many prayers have we prayed? How many times have we testified? How many times have we left off with our convenience of eating and drinking and going and doing the things of the world? How many times have we left off with that to take a little time out for the Lord Jesus or to make a special sacrifice for Jesus or a special effort toward the Lord Jesus? How many times have we done that? See, and yet we're supposed to be the great, wonderful church of today. A charismatic group that wants to frolic, eat, drink, be in sports, be on TV, fame, popularity, that wants to live every way but right, no self-denial of anything, not denying the flesh of anything, that wants to holler, jump, scream, and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. So then Paul said, I knew this man, he was caught up to the third heaven. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what is the third heaven? Well, he makes it real clear right here. He said, caught up to the third heaven. He said, such a one was caught up into paradise. So then what is the third heaven? It's paradise. He was caught up into paradise. Said, he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, I heard words. Some words were spoken. I heard somebody speak some words. I heard words, he said. And so these words are so great that it is not even lawful for a man to utter these words. Mankind is not even allowed to utter these words. Somebody would say, well, what kind of words is that, Brother Pike? Well, There were some words one time that spoke a world into existence. That's pretty wonderful words, isn't it? That's great, wonderful words. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. A lot of times I'm speaking to you. Wonderful words of life. A lot of things that we speak to you. See, things come forth. Jesus said, my words are spirit. A man walking the earth like you and I walk the earth. But he kept speaking words. And they said, never man spake like this man. And Jesus said, my words are words of life. These are sounds that you're hearing that are words of life. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, I long for that day. I wish that I could have walked with Jesus and heard those wonderful words of life. I wished I could have walked with the Lord Jesus and just heard him speak those words of life. But nevertheless, the Bible said when the preacher's preaching, it's not him speaking, but God that's speaking. Jesus was not speaking as a man, but it was God that was speaking. The Bible said, and they all shall be taught of God. For the words that come to you are not of a man, but they are of God. So these words come to you as God speaking unto you. Wonderful words of life. And a lot of times, they're the deep, hidden mysteries of God. To you, they're not deep, hidden mysteries because many times we don't get to speak the deep, hidden mysteries of God. Like the disciples said one time, said, why is it that when you're preaching out there, said, we notice that you speak to them people in parables. Jesus said, because it's not given to them to know the mysteries. How then did they know that he was speaking in parables? The thing was simple. They knew that he was speaking in parables because they knew that he was telling them something that he wasn't telling those people out there. They could have said, Lord, we hear you saying things. We understand things that you say that you're not telling those folks out there. So then we know that you're camouflaging the thing. You're speaking parabolic. We know, why do you do that, Lord? You don't speak that way with us. But he said it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of God. He said, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of God. So then there must be some mysteries. And those mysteries must belong to the church. And those things God must be giving unto us. Because the Bible said it isn't given unto the world. And Paul spoke of the abundance of revelation. In Revelation 10 and 7. It speaks of the mystery of God. The mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness, the Bible said. Paul said, I'm a steward of it. So then there must be some mysteries. There must be some hidden knowledge. There must be something that Jesus was speaking of when he spoke of the hidden manna. He that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. So there must be something somewhere that we need to hear and something that we need to understand. But if we're not hungering, if we're not thirsting in our heart and in our spirit, if there's no drawing, if there's no hunger, if there's no thirsting, then these things won't come to you. They will not come to you. If you are a carnal-minded person, to be carnally minded is death. If you are a carnal-minded person, these things will never come to you. Because the Bible said the things of God knoweth no man. It doesn't matter who he is, how great he is. The Bible said it. These things know no man. And they won't come to a man. But the very minute that you become the body of the Lord Jesus and bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and you begin to move into the mind of God and you begin to show yourself as God in that you add godliness to your experiences, the Bible commands us to do, then these things begin to come to you because they know God. They know God's Spirit and they belong to God's Spirit. And when you become a child of God, all of these things from the heavenly places begin to come to your understanding. And you begin to understand What did He tell us in His Word? He said, call on Me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Just call on Me, Jesus said, and I will reveal to you great and mighty things that you know not. And this is what I do. I call on God and He reveals great and mighty things to me. Things that I don't know until He reveals them. And this is what God wants the church to have. God is no respecter of person. Would God catch Paul up to the third heaven and not catch you up to the third heaven? God would love to catch you up to the third heaven too, just like He caught Paul up to the third heaven. But the thing is, we have to walk with God the same way. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Paul had to experience that to be caught up to the third heaven, and then God, He comes along and He catches us up to the third heaven without going through these things as to submission, then God isn't the same. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God has to do the same thing that He did then on the same basis today that He did it on then. That is, if He's the same, He has to operate the same. He is not different at all. He never changes. To 1,000 generations, He is the same. So then we come to God, and we call on God, and we make ourselves some great thing, you know. We want people to look on us. You know, it was like Simon the sorcerer on that day. He wanted to be something great. He wasn't anything great, but he wanted the people to think he was something great, you know. So we go around and we say, glory to God, I'm a prophetess. Glory to God, I'm a prophet. You know, like a man over the radio, he just said a few days ago over the radio, he said, I believe I'm a prophet. What he might be, I don't know. I don't know whether he is or not. I know that some people say that he's been doing some things that a Christian ought to not do, let alone a prophet. But anyway, he says he believes he's a prophet. Well, if he is, that's good and well. I have nothing to say about it. Maybe he is. Like Moses said one time, I would to God all of them were prophets. You know? But the thing is, I can say this. There is something that's far greater than a prophet. And that is a son of God. Sonship. To be a real, genuine son of God is greater than being a prophet. Well, the Bible teaches that John, there wasn't any greater than John. John was one of the greatest among the prophets. But nevertheless, the Bible said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, men have been pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And we've been preaching that the kingdom of God is now at hand. Have you ever thought about what a great opportunity you've got in this day? Have you ever thought about how great it is? Before Calvary, there was no kingdom of God in the earth. But now that Calvary has come, the kingdom of God is right here with you. Would you believe that? The kingdom of God is among men now. The kingdom of God is among men. John saw the revelation. And John said, the tabernacle of God is among men. Behold, he said, the tabernacle of God is among men. Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle. You know that you're the temple of God? You're the tabernacle of God? Did you know that in the earth today, the tabernacle of God is among men? How did John know that? By revelation. He saw it by revelation. He saw it in the vision. Paul said, I doubtless shall come to visions and come to revelation. He saw it by vision. He saw it by revelation. That on this very earth, the tabernacle of God is here. The tabernacle of God among men. You're the tabernacle of God. God said, I'll walk in you, I'll talk in you, I'll be in you. You're the tabernacle of God. Not all the people of the world are the tabernacle of God, but you that are children of God, you're God's tabernacle in the earth. And God is in His temple, and God is in His tabernacle, and God is walking the earth, and God's eyes are throughout the earth, and God is beholding the good and the evil, and God is rewarding man according to what he does. So then the tabernacle of God is in the earth. Here it is, the beautiful tabernacle of God. But the Bible said the beast blasphemed the name of that tabernacle. The name, the lovely name by which you're called, the Bible teaches. We've lost our identity in this life. And we've been buried in water baptism. And we've taken on the name of Jesus. And so then we're not what we was, but we're the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular. We're named according to his name. And the Bible said, they that are called by my name. But the Bible said the beast blasphemed the name. Have you ever noticed the one thing that the devil won't mess with is the name? You can be Baptist, you can be Methodist, you can be Pentecostal, you can be Catholic, you can be anything you want to. But when it comes to the name Jesus, they don't want you telling their audience to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They don't want you talking about that. They want you to leave that alone, and they'll put you out of the synagogue for his name's sake. And the Bible said they'll hate you and despise you for my name's sake. Can you picture people in the world? Great intelligence. That's great intelligence. That's supposed to be the most learned. And if they've got little enough sense and little enough reasoning with all of their education to come against somebody because of the name of Jesus, can you think of anything of greater ignorance? How could anybody in their intelligence that understands religion in any way get upset because of the name Jesus? But see, nevertheless, the Bible said that they blasphemed the name of the tabernacle, the lovely name by which you're called. Who is the tabernacle? We're the tabernacle. Who is it that's blaspheming this name? It's the beast. Some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. They're not children of God. They're children of the world. So they blaspheme the name Jesus. They come against the name of the tabernacle. See, but the tabernacle of God is in the earth, the Revelation said. The tabernacle of God is in the earth today. How beautiful to know that the tabernacle of God is in the earth. And how awful to think that there are people in the world today that blaspheme the name of the tabernacle. So then we see that there are some spiritual things that are taking place. We see that there are some great and mighty things that are taking place. And John said, I looked and there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. For the Bible said that the dragon fought and his angels fought. And the Bible said Michael and his angels fought. For there was war in heaven. And finally, the red dragon, that old serpent called the devil, the Bible said he was cast out of heaven and found place in heaven no more, but he was cast out into the earth. And a voice said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. And he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When Lucifer is cast out into the earth, then he knows he's lost the battle. He knows that he hath but a short time. So then, the dragon fought, and his angels fought. That is to say, Satan, that taketh the children of the world into captivity at his own will and his own desire. He is fighting against the church. He is warring against the church. Why? Because the Bible said this happened. There was war in heaven. So then the Bible said there is a continual warfare between the body and the soul, and they are of the body. We are of the soul. And so then they war against us. They're continually warring against us. The educational system, the old head of the serpent, the old tree of knowledge, and we're ever trying to bruise their intellectual head and prove to them that they're wrong and their science falsely so called. And they're ever trying to attack us to bruise the heel, as it said. Or that is, they're striking at our soul. They're striking the sole of the foot, the preparation of the gospel. It's symbolic. They're striking at our soul with their poison. They're ever trying to kill our soul. So this war in heaven. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, war in heaven? I mean that this is the second realm. This is the second heaven. The woman, the church, is heavy with child. She's in the second heaven. She's trying to bring forth her child, the man child. Trying to bring forth the image of Christ. But the world has got to bring about a Jim Jones. A Jim Jones. They want to blast the church. Every chance they get, they call it a cult, the true church. You know, they want to brand Mary's child as a bastard child. They want to say, that ain't part of our organization. That couldn't be God. That couldn't be a Christian. So they said, when our master comes, he'll come on a white horse. You know, well, we know when he comes, he'll be a professional man. We know that he's not going to come out of Nazareth. Nothing good could come out of that bunch of laborers down there. Them common folks, we know that when he comes, he's going to be one of these professional men. We're going to hatch him out of college, you know. But nevertheless, he came anyway, and he didn't come through the Moses way of life as they supposed it, and yet he come exactly according to the law, according to the word of God, according to what Moses said. And so then they say, that couldn't be God, that's a bastard child. We say, oh no, this is the child, this is him. This is the Christ, this is the very Christ. Oh no, that couldn't be. Where did he go to college? I don't remember where he graduated out of our seminaries. He doesn't have our tag on him at all. So then the thing goes on. You know, the thing goes on. Jesus, a little boy, sat in the midst of the polished scholars. And they were astounded. They looked at him. They thought, well, this can't be. He's a little kid. He's teaching us. The Bible said a little child shall lead them. And they said, well, tell us about this. And so he told them. And they said, well, tell us about this. And so he told them. Said, well, what about this? And so he told them. And there he was, sitting in the midst of them. The little child, Jesus, the one that they called a bastard child, was sitting there, astounding those scholars that had been great Bible scholars for many years. And they were shook up. They were tore up. He knowed more about the Bible than they could ever learn. And he wasn't but just a little bitty fellow. And he was sitting there telling them all about it. See, that's why they don't like us. They said, we've been in this way for years, and our grandpa was this, and our grandmother was such and such. Here you come along with your Pentecostal experience or whatever you want to call it, and you tell us you know the Bible. See, why, you don't know what the Greek said, and you don't know what the Hebrew said, and what do we care about it? Somebody says, shut up and sit down now. I've got so many years in seminary, and I know all about the Greek, and I know all about this, and actually what they know is a mess. You know, they're so messed up in their mind, if God ever come, he couldn't tell them nothing anyway. The scholars of that day that thought they were so great in the days of Moses was so messed up in their mind that when the Son of God come, they didn't recognize him at all. They didn't know him at all. Here was the Messiah standing in their midst. Here was God standing there trying to tell them something. God himself. But they didn't recognize him. They didn't see him. They didn't know nothing about him. Why? Because they had already programmed their minds. And in their program, they had programmed him out. And here they were wrestling over here, sitting over here. Here's 4 or 5, as we would say. And one says, when do you think he's coming? He said, well, let's search it out, you know. We'll look through you and see. And Jesus sitting there in the midst, you know. The little boy needs to be quiet. What are you doing? I'm looking for this thing. I'm going to find out when the Messiah's coming. It's got to be sometimes. So Jesus, he went on his way. They nailed him to the tree. The Messiah came. He walked in their midst. He wept. He cried. He'd done everything that he could. They killed him. They done away with him. Why? Because they were blind. Folks, that's what's wrong today. Preachers preaching everywhere and don't know nothing. They're as blind as they can be. And I mean preachers that have preached for many years. And just as blind as they can be. And they're talking about the knowledge of God. They say the knowledge of God, Brother Pike. This great knowledge of God. Well, they ain't even got out of their diapers, let alone got to the knowledge of God. I'm telling you the truth. Even the little ones in Christ, just the babes in Christ, that's coming up no more than they know. They've given their life to study and to seminary and to the ministry. And take one little babe in Christ and he confounds them and they don't know how to answer. Not too long ago, some come along and heard our little children in school. And they said, my, these little kids know more than the grown-ups know. Even the little children. See, so then Paul was caught up to the third heaven. You talk about the knowledge of God. Folks, there is a knowledge of God. There's a revelation of God. There's something to learn. But the doctors of divinity don't know it. And those that are hatched off out of seminary don't know it. God has got somebody that does know it. But the Bible said it was revealed to babes such as are willing to learn. And it's hid from the eyes of the wise and the prudent. And those that have studied and those that feel like they know something, they don't know something as they ought to know. So then here is Paul caught up to the third heaven. See, not me living, but Christ living within me, Paul said. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And here Paul is caught up to the third heaven. Why? Because Paul had the knowledge of God. Paul had the understanding of God. See, this was God in the earth again. Here was God in the earth again. God coming forth. God speaking to the people. It was God again. So then here is God again speaking to the people. But what did they do to Paul? They'd done the same thing to Paul they did to Jesus. See, and he said, I've never sent you a wise man. I've never sent you anybody that tried to tell you anything. But what you didn't kill him. What you didn't do away with him. See, lift up the Bible scholars that's hatched out of seminary that are reprobates. Lift them up. Magnify them. Magnify the ball players or the president or anybody else. But when somebody comes that really knows something about God, put him down. Get rid of him. Why? Because the devil knows that's going to tear his kingdom down and take him off of his perch. Don't let him know anything. We want the anointing, somebody said. Like Brother Gerald said, basketball religion, jumping up and down all the time. We want the anointing, somebody says. God said, I'm trying to speak to you. Yeah, but we want the anointing. Hallelujah, somebody says. Play the organ, let's shout. And here we go. And that's supposed to be the anointing. Folks, let me tell you something. If that's the anointing, Jesus was in a backslidden condition because there's no record where he ever did it. If that's the anointing, Jesus wasn't a very good preacher because there's no record where he ever did it. God was interested in one thing, and that is his word. If his word makes you shout, that's good, you can shout. If the word makes you holler, holler just as loud as you want to. Whatever the word makes you do, go to it and have a good time in it. If the word makes you sit on the bench up here to play the organ and you just play and play and play. Whatever the word makes you do. But remember one thing, God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. God is not a holler and a jump and a shout. God is not some wild program. Neither is God a funeral home. You don't sit down and just die. You're not afraid to lift your voice, afraid to say hallelujah. Afraid to do anything in any way of being emotional. God is not that kind of God. God is a God of moderation. God wants you to know the Word. God is not the kind of God that beats everybody's brains out. You know where the preacher gets up and all he does, he just beats the brains out of us. All he ever does. You bunch of dry hides, you bunch of deadheads. God is not like that. There's no record where Jesus ever preached like that. Neither is he the kind of a God, as Jack Coase said one time, that goes around passing out sugar tits to folks either. He says what he feels. When Jesus walked the earth, if a person was a hypocrite, he didn't say, my good brother. He said, thou hypocrite. See, he differentiated between right and wrong. He was a God of moderation. He didn't try to be some great philosopher that stood up and had polished words that nobody could understand what he was saying. He was just a common, down-to-earth fella that talked about the things of God. As it reminds me, I got this little article right here that Brother James gave me. I was making a statement about the Pope and Billy Graham the other day, and of course it says he's coming to visit with Billy Graham, and they're going to do some things together.
Well, anyway, see, God is just he was just a down-to-earth fellow like you and I. He come to be made in the image of man. He come to be like man. They said, how is it that you know these letters? You've never been to college. Oh, that is, they said, how do you know these letters never having learned? He didn't have to learn. He already knows. As I said before, you have to learn a dog. You have to teach him how to give his paw to you and roll over and do whatever. But a little baby that's a human being, you don't have to do nothing to him. Somebody said, well, I taught him. You don't have to do nothing to him. You just leave him there. Let him kick and cry for his bottle, and then after a while he'll say goo goo, and after a while he'll say more than that. Because he's a human being. And see, that's the way it is with the Son of God. The Bible said every one of them are of a good understanding, that the anointing of the Lord is upon them, and they shall be of a quick understanding. So then you don't have to go around trying to teach them, you know, 1, 2, 3, and ABC. That's for the world. That's for the world. So then Paul was caught up to the third heaven. I wish we had time to express this a little more. We did some of it concerning the ABC and the 1, 2, 3 as to whether you learn or whether you don't. We did a little of that over the evening. But see, God is trying to program your mind. Faith don't come by jumping, and faith don't come by hollering. Faith comes by the hearing of God's word. What God is trying to do is to talk to you, and he's trying to lead you. He stood out there among the thousands of people. Maybe sitting down on a rock, or maybe sitting down in a boat, or standing somewhere. And he began to tell them people. He began to talk to them people. He began to indoctrinate them people. And he would say real simple things and give parables and give illustrations because he wanted their mind programmed. This is what he wanted. He didn't have 3,000 people out on the hillside jumping up and down like a bunch of jelly beans and hollering. God didn't do that. If they'd have done that, he just told them to sit down and listen. The Bible said, be quiet. Study to be quiet. And when you come into the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. See, God doesn't want your thoughts. God doesn't want your opinion. God wants you to hear what he's got to say. So then Paul was caught up to the third heaven. Why? Because he had an experience with God. He had a real experience with God. That's what we need. I want more of God's word. I want more of God's understanding. I'm talking to you now. I'm just exhorting you a little bit now. You know, but that's not bringing the mysteries of God to you. That's just exhortation. But getting back to our thought here of a little bit of understanding as to spiritual things. There is a war that's in heaven. There's a war that's going on. See, the red dragon, the blood life, the old red dragon, John called him the generation of vipers. That blood life, there's war that's in heaven. There's a continual warfare. They're branding the people as Jim Jones. They're fighting against the people, saying no prayer in school. They're fighting against everything that's godly, everything that's spiritual. And yet, while they fight against the right thing and fight against the Protestant way of life, here comes the Pope of Rome, and the president goes out and does obeisance unto him. And they turn the school out, and all the celebrities go out, and millions of people fill the streets. As the picture that I saw in Chicago, there's just millions of people come to him. All kind of people, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, all kind of people. Nobody stops him. Nobody puts him down. Nobody says anything. They just go on. You know, to Papa. What is it? Don't you understand that the powers of the devil is trying to stamp out everything that we stand for, including the prayer that's in school, to brainwash us, to get us away from everything that we know that's godly and decent, so that when a Papa comes, as they say, that he can swallow you up? I don't mean this wrong, because a lot of people love to have my head for it. I would say that if I didn't know anything about God and I didn't know anything about righteousness, if I was going to join a church, I wouldn't join the Baptist and the Methodist. I'd join the Catholic Church. I think they got about 56 million Catholics in America. Why join the Catholic Church? Why not? Papa's got them all. Why not go with him? And besides that, you don't know what's right and you don't know what's wrong. Somebody said, bless God, I'm Methodist. What does that mean? Well, my granddaddy was a Methodist, somebody said, and I'm Baptist and I'm proud of it. You know, how ignorant can folks be? So then, why not join the Catholic Church? I mean, why not? You say, well, what is religion? So I say, Catholic Church. Why not? You say, but Brother Pike, we've got all of our churches. We got the Methodist, we got the Baptist, we got the Pentecostal. I know, but every one of them come through Martin Luther from that church. All of them belong to the Catholic Church. So, well, you can't prove that. I sure can prove it. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that this church at Bethlehem and these people at Bethlehem come from the Catholic Church? No. No. The gospel that we preach comes from the Bible. When you repent of your sins and you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that comes from the Bible. But when you take a Trinitarian teaching and you teach three gods and you teach to be baptized in the title Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's a Catholic thing that come from the Nicene Council and is still on record today. So that means you belong to the Catholic Church. You're part of the operation. Because the remission of sin is in the name Jesus, beginning at Jerusalem and then being preached in all of the world. So then, why not join the Catholic Church? Somebody said, well, what is the Catholic Church, Brother Pine? I don't know what it is. It's the Pope. He's the Catholic Church. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, whatever he says, that's what they do. Whatever he says don't do, that's what they don't do. He's the Catholic Church. Did you know that if the Pope would be honest with you, he could care less about the Catholic Church? To him, Catholic Church is just a title. He could care less about that. What the Pope is after is ruling the world and becoming the most powerful man that ever lived in the world, having control of all of humanity. That's why he's traveling all over the world right now. The end of the days of the Gentiles is here. And he's just about to do away with the whole thing that has to do with Protestantism and get the harlot daughters right back into the place where they came from. The Bible said the great whore and her daughters. And I don't mean this wrong. You say what you want to, feel like you want to, but Billy Graham is the number one false prophet that's helping him to gather them together. Amen. He is helping the Pope to get them all together. And they're all working together to come to that one false doctrine of the devil that comes through the powers of Catholicism. And the Pope could care less, as I said, about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is just a figment of imagination or some words or thoughts as to some title. And he knows he's the Catholic Church. He's the only Catholic Church. He's religion. He's Mr. Religion. And he's gathering all the world together to him to bring the Antichrist system in. All of the world's going to do opposites to him. The Bible said, and everyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life followed the beast. And as you very well know, his title is 666, Vicarius Filii Dei. The Bible said in his name, it's the name of a man, 666. And you know those letters in Roman numerals? Brings out 666. You know that. All of the world wondered after him. Never been a pope that ever traveled around like he's doing. All over the world. Somebody said, well, he's going, Brother Pike, to establish the Catholic Church. I tell you again, he couldn't care less about the Catholic Church. Why did he get rid of the crown? That was what the Catholic Church taught. Why does he do the things he does? Well, he don't care if you're Mohammed.
He don't care if you're Confucius. He don't care what you are as long as you acknowledge him as Papa. That's all he cares. And I don't mean that in the wrong way. But that's exactly all he cares for. If all the world will acknowledge him as Papa. And all the world is doing it. And I mean he's making allowance for everything. He'd come here today and he'd make allowance for little Bethlehem and give you his blessings if you'd kiss his toe or if you'd do whatever he requires of you. And I'm telling you again, you might not believe this, but men like Rex Humboldt, great, powerful leaders, are bowing down to him. It's like the picture that we've got at home. I believe Brother James brought a book over here. And it's got a picture of Rex Humboldt in there with the Pope. And the writings up under the picture states that this is the greatest thrill of his life. He said to the Pope, said, "We're preaching the same thing." That's exactly what I said. They're preaching the same thing. He confessed it. They are preaching the same thing. The only thing is he just confessed it. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, do you believe the rest of them's preaching what Rex Humboldt preaches? Well, I guess so. Well, they must be preaching the same thing. All of them are preaching the same thing. Bill is preaching the same thing that they preach. All of them preaching the same thing. And as long as they don't lift up the name Jesus and lift up one God, all of them are going to hell and be turned into the lake of fire. All of them. What is it, Brother Pike? It's the three unclean spirits that's gone out through the world of the false prophet, of the dragon, of the Antichrist. It's spirits that's gone out through the world to gather the whole world to the day of the judgment of God, to the battle of Armageddon, gathering them all together. No one can do it like the Pope. Gathering them all together. And he comes to America this year to gather all of you together that belongs to Papa. He's going to get all of you together. Just like James told me again the other day, up here a Pentecostal preacher went to some Catholic doings that they had. Three sisters, or two of them, supposed to be Pentecostal, supposed to be filled with the Spirit and with the Holy Ghost. And when the priest starts giving out the cracker for them to receive the Spirit, laying it on their tongue, these supposed to be people, as they're being filled with the Holy Ghost, went up to get their cracker. Folks, don't you see how the world is deceived? That's Pentecostal people. That's supposed to be the cream of the crop. So then, this is what I'm speaking of. We need some knowledge of God. We need some understanding of God. We need to come together. We don't need a holler and a hoop and a scream. That's the reason people are in the condition that they're in. They don't know anything about God. And they're not trying to learn anything about God. And they say, "Well, it makes me feel better. I feel God. I feel good. Good, good," somebody says, "because I feel God. Let's go to the cafe and eat. And we'll come back and feel good again tonight." Well, let me tell you something. The reign of God, the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God is poured out upon the just and the unjust. You may feel good in the Spirit and fill your belly over in the evening and still be the serpent. Because the reign is on the just and the unjust. Feeling good and jumping and hollering and feeling something don't mean nothing. The water, the same water that comes down on the wheat comes on the briar. So it don't mean a thing. But folks, let me tell you something. The child is known by his doings. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll do right. I talked to a man today. He was sitting near my table where we were sitting and talking. And he asked me today, he said, "Well, what can I do?" He said, "I've tried this and I've tried that and whatever." You know, he said, "I got a conscience that still bothers me if I do wrong." And that's good. But folks, that ain't worth 15 cents. What good is your conscience? What do you care about a conscience? God didn't say if you had have a good conscience. God said the child is known by his doings. If you do wretched, then you're wretched. If you do good, then you're good. If you do holy, then you're holy. If you don't do holy, you're not holy. If you do worldly, then you're worldly. If you do godly, then you're godly. Has a will, then the Bible said have a performance.
So it's what you do. God is interested in what you do. Somebody says, let's sing praises to God. Hallelujah. We're charismatic. You know, and as quick as they get out, they say, there's a good movie over on the corner. Or are you going to the bathing pool today? Or do we go to the beaches? What do we do today? See, where is the ball game? What we're going to do today? Folks, don't you understand that that's of the devil? That you can't do those things, that you're a vomit on the table of God? That you can't go out and have the love of the world in you? That the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there? See, it's this great war. There's a continual warfare between your soul and between your body. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of your eyes, all of that is of the world. So then there's something drawing at you, there's something pulling at you to cause you to have, as Sister Dale said, the wasted years. So then what do? We separate ourselves from those things. That is a warfare. Those people in the world do that. That's the land of Esau. They sold their birthright for a morsel of bread. That is the red dragon. That is the blood life. That is the old life of passions, where people just can't get enough wives and they can't get enough of each other. You know, it's a continual thing to where they're wallowing in their own slop and mire. Jesus said the sow, after that she's been washed, will go back to her wallowing in the mire. And said the dog will return to his vomit. See, that's the world. But that's the old red dragon that's making war with you. You say, but Brother Pike, it said that it was in heaven. That is in heaven. You say, you mean to tell me them people are in heaven? I mean to tell you them people are in heaven. I've said this a lot of times and I still say it again one more time tonight. If you don't think you're in heaven, you just wait till you get to hell and you'll be able to tell the difference. When God has made allowance to where somebody, every time they have a little toothache, they can run and get a shot. They can go to the doctors, they can get relief, they can have all these tender cares in life. They can eat steak, they can eat blueberry pie and do what they want to. That's heaven, folks. So then, where was the red dragon? John saw him in heaven. That is, he is in the human beings that are walking the earth. Which human beings are under grace because the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement. And the mercy of God is upon the people right now as the rain upon the unjust, which makes it heaven. It is heaven. The devil is enjoying heaven. He's supposed to be out there wandering through the dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. But because of the world of today and the people of today, he has entered into those people, and this is how he came before God. When Job said he came before God, he came before God and God had a conversation with him. Why? Because the devil was in heaven. He walked up before God. How did he do that? To rain on the unjust and him living in the unjust. And the unjust having an allotted day of grace until their time expired as to see what they were going to do through life. Though God is angry with the wicked every day, he has given a day of grace. So that they, all of the people that are elect, can come to God. And so that he won't have to destroy the people that are elect before they come to God. And so he has to make an allowance for the unjust to provide for the just. So then we see that the devil is living as a spirit, as an angelic being in the bloodstream of the wicked. And that is the beast that he entered into. He is still in the beast. He is working in the beast. And God has turned that beast into a serpent, a generation of vipers. And God has put that serpent on his belly and all of his labors for his belly because his belly craves it of him. And John laid the axe to the root of the tree and John cut down that tree of knowledge all the way back from Calvary to the tree of knowledge to the garden. John cut it down. And the axe was laid to the root of the tree. And God brought his judgment upon them. And God said, it is finished. And God's just waiting for the day until he gets his saints ready. As it was with Sodom and Gomorrah. The day that Lot went out. The very day God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Bear with me just a little bit. So then, there's war. Where is the war? It's in heaven. We're warring. Our war, our weapons of warfare, they're not carnal. We're not using guns and knives. We're not doing that because the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. We're praying. We're fasting. We're testifying. We're publishing the gospel. But see, the red dragon out there, he puts his little badge on, throws his gun on his hip. He comes with his sword. He comes with his gun. He comes with his blackjack. You know, he knocks us around. He puts the people in prison as he did the people in the early church. He pounces on your children. His old intellectual device is, you've given me $50 this month for taxes. We're going up at $75 next month. You know, they said, don't you pay taxes? Jesus said, well, go down yonder, Peter. Get the money out of the fish's mouth. Pay the taxes. So we don't offend them. You understand what I'm saying? Passing through the land of Esau. So then the red dragon is fighting. He's in heaven. He's fighting. He's got the second heaven. He's in control of it. He's the God of this world. And he's fighting because he knows that the child is being born. And as it was down there in the days of Moses, he wanted to kill that child. Kill the firstborn. Herod, kill the firstborn. Because that child is being born. See, the devil's all out of sauce right now. About the time that Moses was to come, that great deliverer, that royal seed was coming. The devil got all tore up and he shook up Pharaoh and shook up Egypt and he said, kill him! He's around somewhere. In the days of Herod, when them wise men come through there, Herod, he got all tore up. He couldn't keep his composure. He went through there and he just slayed the children. See, and the devil, he's tense right now, as we say. He knows that hour is here. He knows that child is coming forth. And I can feel the Holy Ghost all over me when I say that. See, that child is here. He's coming forth. And the devil's in a rage. Kill him! You know, do something. Do something! Send him out of the islands. Get him over there at that Bethlehem place. Let him get Levin alive. Take Channel 60 and make it look like the movie. What kind of movie is that, Tony? Called it, I don't know if Tony knows about the movie anyway. Somebody calls some kind of movie where they just make havoc of everybody and said, that's what Bethlehem will be. That's the way we'll do it. Why do they want to do that? Brother Pike hasn't bothered them. I don't know of any of you that's bothered them. Why do they want to crawl out of the holes and the crevices and come running down here and want to kill us? Why do they want to destroy Bethlehem? I don't bother them. If they want to bank, I let them bank. If they want to hunt, I let them hunt. If they want to fish, I let them fish. If they want to curse, I let them curse. If they want to drink, I let them drink. Why do they want to come down here bothering me? I don't go bother them. You know why? The Bible said they're gathered together against His Christ. The Bible said, why did they gather together? Wasn't it against the Christ? Amen. They know the Christ is here. They want to kill that child. They want to kill His influence. They want to kill Him out. They want to do anything they can to stop Him, but they can't stop Him. There's no way they can stop Him. This is like feathers in the wind all over the world. It's the coming of the Lord. And the Pope is fixing to come and get all that belongs to Papa to bring in the Antichrist system. You say, I don't like the way you say Papa. Well, you say it. So then, you say you don't have any respect. Let me tell you something, folks. Honestly, I think, so far as a nice fella, as the world would call him nice, the Pope is probably one of the nicest people you could meet. So far as doing his thing in life, he's probably got a lot of good morals, a lot of things that he does. Well, he'd probably be one of the finest fellas you ever met. He obviously is. But what's that got to do with salvation? The ministers of the Baptist church, the ministers of the Pentecostal church, the ministers of all the other churches. Well, they're some of the finest fellows you ever met. And some of the people in them. But what's that got to do with salvation? The Pharisees was nice people. The Sadducees was nice people. But what's that got to do with salvation? Being a nice person has nothing to do with spiritual things. And being a nice person has nothing to do with salvation. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about
Christ. We're talking about the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about being born again. So far as being nice, there's millions of nice people in the world. As a matter of fact, some of them act a little bit nicer than some folks that profess Christianity. But nevertheless, that don't have nothing to do with being born again. I'm telling you, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. I believe Nicodemus might have been a nice fella. And Nicodemus come to have a little talk with Jesus, but Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again or you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. So then we're not having a dispute as to whether people are nice or not. It doesn't matter where you go, you're going to meet some nice folks. But I'm telling you, folks, being a nice person is going to keep you out of hell. Being a preacher isn't going to keep you out of hell. Being a preacher's child isn't going to keep you out of hell. Having a religious background isn't going to keep you out of hell. You're going to have to be born again. And you're going to have to line up with God and you're going to have to live right. And you're going to encounter some sufferings. You're going to encounter some disappointments. You're going to encounter some things that's going to make you feel bad. It is going to be milk and honey all the way down the trail. And you need to remember that. So then, we could go on and go on and exhort you tonight. So then, what is it, Brother Pike? It's the Christ. It's the Christ that's in your heart. Is He in your heart? If He isn't, you don't have any hope of heaven. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He alone being made heir to the glory. He is your hope of that glory. If you don't have Him, you don't have any hope of glory. You might be a good church member. You might belong to certain things. But if you don't have that, you don't have Him. And I tell you again, you might say, well, bless God the Baptist this, and bless God the Methodist this, and bless God the Pentecostals this. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostals, and every one of them is going to go after what they call Papa. If they don't do it, come back and tell me I'm a liar. You'll have a good chance to see whether I'm a liar or not. All of the world wondered after Him. All of the world. Not part of the world. All of the world. Everyone whose name was not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why the devil has brainwashed the people. That's why he's had them more interested in sports than he has in religion and in the Bible. And they're just one big bunch of religious people that don't hardly know their right hand from their left. And as far as they're concerned, they one time thought the papacy was an awful thing, but now they've decided, well, it ain't no he ain't no worse than nobody else. Because they done got in the same condition that he's in. You know, this is the truth, and I don't mean this wrong. But you can be a clean person and go down to the hog pen and you won't care to have fellowship with the hogs. But if you stay around there about 2 years and you waller in the mire every time they waller in the mire after a while, you're not going to be so troubled about the thing. It ain't going to smell as bad as you thought it did. Did you know that you can be in a house and that house can stink? But if you stay in there long enough, you can't smell nothing. I've gone into rooms and I'd say, my lands, what a terrible odor. Somebody said, well, I don't smell nothing. I thought, well, no, you've been in here about 3 hours, you know. But if you'll get out and get that stuff out of your lungs and get some fresh air in your lungs and then go in there, you'll have a little discernment. And that's what we need is a little bit of discernment. We need to be able to differentiate between a pig and a human being. All right. Oh, that is the Son of God. So then, I'm saying this. From my heart. I want to do right. I want you to do right. But the end of the world is here. The Pope is coming this year. And it's the Jubal year of the Jews. And it has to do with the end of the world. That war is on in heaven. See, and the red dragon is causing that problem. And God is going to cast him out. See, and the church is also in heaven. In the second heaven, John said, I saw that dragon in heaven. I saw that woman in heaven. I saw these things taking place in heaven. All of these things is taking place in heaven. It's a heavenly atmosphere. It's grace. God's blessing them all. But God is fixing to take the blood off the seat of atonement. It ain't going to be heaven no more. The Bible said they'll gnaw their tongues and the balls will be upon them. And the Bible said they'll pray to die and can't even die. And the Bible said in that day they won't get any relief because there won't be any healing medicines. Well, there's a lot of things we could say about that. People leaning on the arm of flesh, going down to Egypt for their help. But you're going to find out it's God. It ain't no professor. It ain't no doctor.
It's God. When God gets through, you ain't going to get herbs and you ain't going to get nothing to heal you or to give you peace or nothing else. When the spirit of grace is lifted, you can run down to the doctor and he'll be in as bad a shape or worse a shape than you. You can go to the psychiatrist and he'll be in as bad a shape as you are. See, it's God, folks. All the paths of God are peace. He'll bless you. He'll make you ride upon the high places of the earth. So then, we see that we need to be spiritual. I'm going to say just a few more things and close. Dale can come to the piano or an organ if they will. Now, something is happening. And we need to get some understanding. As I say, it's not the day to beat people on the head. And it's not the day to compromise. It's not the day to run and jump and holler like a bunch of heathens. It's a day of trying to get some understanding from God that we might know what to do. How would you like for your president, the president of the United States, he come out to make a speech, and he just forgets about all that he's got to say, and he just hollers and screams and jumps and turns cartwheels, and everybody applauds, and he says, "See you next time." You wouldn't want him, would you? Well, why not? He's having a good time. You say, "But I want to know what he's got to say." Well, what difference does that make? What do you care about what he's got to say as long as he's having a good time? And you can turn cartwheels too. You can have a good time too. It don't make sense, does it? Somebody says, "Now, Brother Pike, let's have some sense about this thing." Well, how is it that in the natural that don't make sense? And yet in the spiritual you want to do that and you say it does make sense. You understand what I'm saying? So then, that means that something is taking place. We've got to do something. And we've got to do something with some sound reasoning. We've got to do something about the situation. I say this again, Miriam had a hallelujah time and they jumped and they hollered and they screamed and done all kind of things. And that was fine. Nothing was wrong with it. But, on the other hand, when the serpents got to biting and all the problems come, they quit their hollering and jumping and screaming because they didn't know how to keep the serpents from biting them. Hollering and jumping and screaming didn't stop the serpents from biting them. And then Moses said, "Okay, we'll get down to business now." And they took the Word of God and they began to learn the Word of God and they began to learn God's ways. And then the serpents began to leave them alone. And that's what's happening, folks. The devils are eating you up. And you can shout and holler and call it a good time and go to revival and do whatever you want to and watch television programs as to a television evangelist. But until you get down to real godly living and get filled with the Spirit and be willing to deny yourself for the name of Jesus and take on a job of suffering for Christ as to deny yourself and reach the world and world evangelism or help somebody, you're going to have them devils and demons eating your belly out with cancer and giving you heart attacks and oppressing your mind until you go crazy or just become a lunatic or until you turn to dope. Your nerves is going to break down and this ain't going to be nothing that can stop it. Not a thing. All right. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Let's get down to business and let's love the Lord. And let's get to having church and grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, "We wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word of God." And let's talk with sense and let's get into the mysteries of Christ, because I tell you, in the name of the Lord, it's a little group. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. It is a little group. But there is a little group. Few there be that find it. But there is a little group. That they are finding an open door into another world. A way of escape. They're finding a door that's open into another world. And by this door of Christ, they're beginning to get into these spiritual things and be translated. Their inner being is being translated into this world of mysteries and this world of understanding.
And they're moving into that world. And those that move into that world as to their inner man, that's going to be the ones that make the translation. Because that is the translation. It's from glory to glory on the inside. And these that move into that, and these that find that, you know what's going to happen? He's going to appear to them the second time without sin unto salvation. And them, as to the inner man that's in that world, when he appears, the Bible said he shall suddenly appear within his temple, whose temple ye are. And all of a sudden, through that inner spiritual being, it's going to change this outer man. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Thessalonian change, that outer man is going to be changed as to relate to that inner man and caught away to meet him. And all of ye others that are just going through religious fervor and religious programs and religious formalities and going to church and doing these things, that's doing nothing for your inner man, that's not changing your inner man, that's not perfecting your inner man, you ain't going nowhere. Not nowhere. You're just going to stay right here. That's why the Bible uses the terms at the midnight cry, they that had the oil went away with him. The others went to seek the oil. But they that had the oil went away with him. And you that have this thing, you're going to make the change. And you that don't have it, I can promise you that you won't make the change. So you can be as religious as you want to, and you can go on eating and drinking and doing your little thing in life, and you know, hollering and doing whatever you want to do and saying, God told me to do this and God told me to do that, when God ain't told you nothing. And then some of you might go on doing things that God is telling you to do. But the only reason he's telling you to do it, it's his permissible will. He knows that you're not going to do what he wants you to do. And you're not going to do his perfect will. So he'll say, go on, Balaam, do whatever you want to. You do this and you do that, you know. And he'll just let you do whatever you want to. But at the end of the way, you're going to find it just as it was with Balaam. You say, well, I know God's with me. I know he was with Balaam. Balaam could see visions. Balaam could do all kinds of things. But at the end of the way, he was called a soothsayer. It's going to be that way with a lot of preachers. So I'm telling you, there's a door that's open in heaven. There's a way. And you can get in it, folks, if you want to go through. But you're going to have to get down to business. You're going to have to start coming to church with regularity, learning about the things of God. You're going to have to start studying. You're going to have to start praying. You're going to have to start fasting. You're going to have to start denying yourself. You're going to have to get out of the world and stop playing games with God. Coming to church and then going out there living in the world is no good. You're going to have to get away from that and get this for your lifestyle. And this is going to have to be your life, day and night. You're going to have to meditate in His laws, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Jesus, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, to be holy in body and spirit. And if you don't do this, you're just not going to make it in. Because at the last moment of the change, that's not when you make it in. It is right now that you're making it in. It is right now that your sins are remitted. It is right now that the glory to glory change is taking place. Right now. So if your mind is programmed to do the things of the world, and that's your desire, then that's what you are and this is your world. But if your mind is programmed to do the things of God and to love the Lord and to meditate in His laws, then that's the world that you belong to. All right, let's stand together. I know that some of you love the Lord. You might say, how do you know, Brother Pike? Because you try to keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I know that some of you try to keep the commandments of God, so I know that you love the Lord. And I know that some of you are just, you've got a religious fervor. You don't love the Lord. You don't know nothing about God. You're not born again. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible said God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him, and you don't obey Him. The child is known by his doings. You don't obey Him. This is the rule book right here.
And this is what we try the Spirit by. This is what we check you out by. And you don't obey it. So I know that you don't love the Lord regardless of what you say. You're just running as one that beateth the air. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know why you're doing it. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Give me another key, sister. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. All the death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He lives forevermore. Oh, he's gone. And the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. All the death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives. Can you sing it one more time with me? The altars are open. The altars are open, and you can come to the altar, as the song says. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Can you sing it with me? Oh, he's gone, and the stone's rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, all the death triumphant gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives one more time. Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. All the death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. Oh, tell me his name again. Can you say amen? Tell me his name again. Sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above. Just to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has dared. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. Sing it with me. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above. To die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. For it banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Tell me his name. Don't you love that name? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more pure, more pure than gold. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, more precious. Can you sing that one more time? Oh, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Somebody say hallelujah. How wonderful it is to know Jesus. You believe that that is wonderful to know Jesus? All right, let's sing that song. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's the bright morning star. Sing it just one more time. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus. If you believe that everybody ought to know who Jesus is, then you should ask Jesus to help you to see that everybody knows. You should ask Jesus to help you. You should say, Jesus, tell me what I can do. What can I do, Jesus? Tell me what I can do. I want to do something, because everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. Don't you believe that? Father God of heaven, bless these people tonight. God, let your wonderful Spirit go out among them. May the power of God be with them. May they be delivered from all of the problems of life and all of the persecutions of life. And Father, may they be delivered from all the sicknesses of life. God, may your Spirit go out to them. May you heal them. And may you save them, God. And may you open their eyes and let them see the door into heaven. And Father, help them to cross over the Jordan to the other side, to get over into Canaan, God, and get on the happy side of living. I know that you can, and I know that you will help us. I ask you to do that tonight. Bless us with your wonderful blessings, Jesus. Let's sing this chorus. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan, the Jordan Joshua said. For on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. When you reach the other side, sing it again. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage free. And when you reach the other side, you shall. Just one more time. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall. Let's give the Lord a hand, can we? Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, the people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage free. And when you reach the other side, be free. Can you say amen to that? Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see coming to carry me home? Was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do,
the kind to carry me on. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. They're coming to carry me on. Swing low. Carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. You're coming to carry me home. Don't you feel good in the Lord? Lift your hand if you feel good in the Lord. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Father, we praise you for your wonderful blessings. Praise you for the Spirit of God that we feel tonight. Praise you because we know that you've forgiven our sins for Christ's sake. And dear God, we're dwelling in the wonderful fields of God. Hallelujah. Dwelling in Canaan, Father. I ask in the lovely name of Jesus that you look down upon us right now. Hallelujah. Bless us in Jesus' name. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. I'm shouting the victory. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me.
While we sing another chorus together, and if you'd like to come to the altar, you can come. Might not hurt if all of us come tonight. And do that every once in a while. Invite you down to the altar. Let's sing the song, There's Room at the Cross.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Sing it again now.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fear. Relief. how precious thee that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believe. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. We'll wear the crown. For when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. You love the Lord? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, time shall be no more.
Let's sing this little chorus. Give me that old-time religion. 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 That's me. Let's raise it up just a little bit. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when you are dying. It will do when you are dying. It will do when you are dying. And good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion.
John.
It's good.
Sing it one more time, can you?
Old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
Let's give the Lord a hand, can you?
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good.
One more time.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. For it's good enough for me.
Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah.
I want to get our brother to come up, if he will, and pray with us. First time I've seen him in a good long while. I guess you're still around in Thomaston, Georgia, are you? Still got your place there. I know that his ministry, as far as I know, is still out of Thomaston. He's been there for quite a long while. He's been here and ministered for us. And we're thankful to have him here tonight. Appreciate him so much. We got some literature from him a few days back. If you would, I'd like for him to come on up, if you would, and dismiss us. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord. Can you do that? Do you really want the old-time religion? You know, tonight I read to you about the old-time religion. Paul went through some sufferings with the old-time religion. Do you still want the old-time religion? Now, you've been willing to shout for God, but would you be willing to suffer for the Lord? You just have to say, Lord, help us. Would you be willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus? Would you like to equip yourselves with a mind to suffer? Would you like to do that? There's some of you that suffered. I know you've suffered some things. But folks, we've not suffered at all like the early church did. We're very fortunate people. Now, I admit that we're going through some spiritual persecutions that they did not encounter. And that's why God has protected us so as to the physical being. He knows that we're having some spiritual difficulties and spiritual oppressions that they didn't encounter. They went through some physical conflicts. All right, if our brother will come on around and pray with us.